Columbia lays off 300 due to circumstances beyond its control. Garmin confirms the G1000 has a bug which has halted deliveries. And NASA engineers say the heat shield gouge is not a danger. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 15, 2007. Columbia Aircraft really appeared to have the train back on the rails. Lean manufacturing was implemented, the workers were back on the job, the freak hailstorm was a fading memory. Now this. Columbia confirmed to ANN on Tuesday that about 300 workers have been furloughed, and more may be sent home soon, because Garmin has been unable to track down a bug causing attitude failure modes within the primary flight display on the G1000 avionics package used in the Columbia 350 and 400 aircraft. All units shipped from Garmin since May 1st are suspect. The problem limits aircraft operations to VFR only and causes an inability for Columbia to issue a certificate of airworthiness to customer specifications for delivery. A Columbia staffer noted that other manufacturers were also reporting problems in getting necessary deliveries of a critical component of the G1000, meaning they're in the same boat. Columbia President Juan Majid calls the supplier-driven interruption frustrating. Quote, "Our recovery plan was masterfully executed earlier this year, and deliveries have been proceeding on target. However, we simply cannot continue to complete and deliver new aircraft without the functionality and reliability that customers demand." Unquote. Garmin, meanwhile, confirmed to ANN on Tuesday that it has stopped shipments of the G1000 primary flight display due to problems with its GRS-77 attitude heading reference system. Quote, "Internal system monitors detect a component failure in the GRS-77 that results in a continual red X of attitude information on the primary flight display. After communication with Garmin's OEM partners and the FAA, it was determined that in all G1000 installations, continued safe flight can be conducted with a standby attitude indicator and other available instruments. If pilots should experience a failure of the GRS-77 AHRS, they should follow standard procedures and refer to the standby attitude indicator." Unquote. Garmin is publishing a service advisory to the field and states it is aggressively working with suppliers and OEM partners to resolve the issue and resume deliveries. The G1000 is widely used in several general aviation aircraft, including Cessna single-engine piston aircraft and the Citation Mustang light jet. Cessna tells ANN it has temporarily halted aircraft deliveries while it awaits a fix for the AHRS issue, but unlike Columbia, Cessna plans to continue with production. Engineers at NASA determined late Monday evening launch damage to the shuttle Endeavour poses no threat to crew safety or mission operations, and repairs are not necessary to ensure that the orbiter will survive re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere. NASA is discussing options for possible repair work to prevent possible heat-related structural damage that would complicate the ground turnaround for Endeavour's next flight. Engineers are expected to announce their decision on that mission on Wednesday. On Tuesday, the STS-118 astronauts installed a new stowage platform on the exterior of the International Space Station. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association tells ANN it's looking forward to the commissioning of Airport Surface Detection Equipment Model X at two sites this month. The union says the system is very effective in helping controllers prevent runway incursions. ASDEX will upgrade the ground radar systems at Chicago O'Hare and Charlotte Douglas International Airport. ASDEX uses a combination of surface movement radar, transponder multilateration, and ADSB, or Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, to provide air traffic controllers with an accurate picture of the location and identity of aircraft and vehicles on the airport surface. NATCA President Patrick Forey said, quote, "This is an example of using new technology to assist the air traffic controllers working in control towers, along with providing more information to the controller without increased workload," unquote. Fort Lauderdale International is scheduled for delivery of ASDEX in October. Up next on ANN, Spectrum says it's ahead of schedule on the S-40 light jet. A senior citizen skydiver aims for a supersonic freefall. And the first hotel in space is scheduled to open in 2012. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 15th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Faster. That's the common thread behind two recent announcements by Spectrum Aeronautical LLC, which reports continued strides in bringing two new business jets to market. Spectrum tells ANN the company plans to accelerate the FAA type certification program for its upcoming S-40 Freedom light jet, while also making an engine change to the smaller S-33 Independence very light jet. Lyndon Blue, chairman and founder of Spectrum, says the company recently decided to use the Williams FJ33-4A-19 engine on the S-33 Independence instead of the previously announced -15. Quote, "The Independence already had the highest thrust-to-weight ratio of any business jet, and now it's even better. Also, the -19 incorporates Williams' latest technology, so with the additional thrust, it has even better fuel specifics. We're enthusiastic about continuing to work with Williams on this exceptional airplane," unquote. As for the larger, Honda-powered S-40 Freedom, Spectrum initially projected certification in 2010. Now, the company is targeting a type certificate in 2009, in line with the anticipated certification date for Honda's HF-120 engine. By age 63, most skydivers have abandoned the sport, but retired French Army paratrooper Michael Fournier is about to attempt a jump which will break several records and also break the sound barrier. The free-fall speed record for a human is currently held by U.S. Air Force Captain Joseph Kittinger, who reached 614 miles per hour, or about Mach 0.9, during a jump in 1960. Fournier says of his upcoming attempt, quote, "I would be lying if I said I wasn't afraid, but I am also very excited. It really is a leap into the unknown," unquote. So, just how does one free-fall at the speed of sound? Fournier will purge nitrogen from his bloodstream by breathing pure oxygen, then ascend using a weather balloon to 131,000 feet. His special carbon fiber suit includes a helmet with reinforced ear pads to protect him from the sonic boom expected 37 seconds after his fall begins. According to the UK Telegraph, Fournier's parachute won't open for 6 minutes 25 seconds. His technical team estimates he'll reach 1,113 miles per hour before being slowed by the resistance of ever-thicker air about 8.5 minutes after jumping. In the 1980s, Fournier was one of three candidates chosen to take part in an endurance test for the military to ascertain if a parachutist could safely descend from 125,000 feet. That testing was abandoned in 1988, but Fournier continued on his own, financing his dream by selling antique furniture, his gun collection, and even his own home. The veteran of more than 8,500 parachute jumps takes part in a rigorous training program of running, weightlifting, and yoga to help prepare for this next attempt. Quote, "People have said I am too old, but I am very fit and have trained hard," unquote. If the burgeoning commercial spaceflight industry has caught your fancy, you'll be pleased to know the first hotel in space is now scheduled to open in 2012. Don't look for any deals on Galactic Suite on Priceline, though. Rooms are going to cost $4 million for a three-night stay. The good news, for that price, you get 15 sunrises a day as the hotel circles the Earth every 90 minutes. Reuters reports that guests will use Velcro suits to get around their suites by sticking to the walls and bathe in floating bubbles of water. Company director Xavier Claremont says, quote, "It's the bathrooms in zero gravity that are the biggest challenge. How to accommodate the more intimate activities of the guests is not easy," unquote. So who provided the $3 billion needed to develop the hotel? That remains a secret, but Claremont has mentioned a company bent on colonizing Mars. So who can afford $1.3 million a night? Claremont responds, quote, "We have calculated that there are 40,000 people in the world who could afford to stay at the hotel. Whether they will want to spend money on going into space, we just don't know," unquote. A firefighter's helicopter working on a wildfire near Happy Camp, Oregon, is believed to have struck a tree before its fatal crash, according to the National Transportation Safety Board. The government contracted Bell 205 was delivering water to crews fighting the Elk Fire Complex near the Marble Mountain Wilderness on July 23rd. NTSB says that while the chopper lowered containers of water on a 150-foot line, witnesses saw the aircraft drift right. The main rotor struck a 165-foot tree before the helicopter turned left, then pitched nose down, crashed, and caught fire. The only victim was the pilot, 61-year-old Dennis Davis of Boise, Idaho. He was flying for Idaho Helicopters. The NTSB says its final report is expected in about a year. Still ahead, Canada's TSB investigates the loss of members of a prominent farming family in a plane accident. GPS manufacturers struggle to depict Washington, D.C.'s new airspace. And NASA says goodbye to the Delta II. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 and 400 are now available with either an Abadine or Garmin electronic cockpit. The new Garmin G1000 equipped Columbia 350 and 400 have just been introduced with the new ReadyPad. While the G1000 panel integrates all navigation and flight instruments into two high-resolution screens, incorporating GPS, nav, comm, autopilot, transponder, and flight director into one easy-to-use package. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 15, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. Three members of a family prominent in the agriculture industry in Alberta, Canada, died late Sunday in the crash of a Cirrus SR-22. 46-year-old Jean Dargis, his wife Joanne Dargis, and mother Anita Dargis were on their way back from a graduation party at a relative's home, according to family accounts in the Edmonton Sun. Officials say there was no distress call reported, but Canada's Joint Rescue Coordination Center in Trenton, Ontario, received an emergency locator beacon signal via satellite about 9:40 p.m. Ground searchers found the wreckage Monday morning east of House Mountain Tower between Faust and Swan Hills. Jean and Joanne Dargis are survived by five daughters between the ages of 22 and 15 and a large extended family. Jean was said to have been a 10-year pilot who recently got his SR-22. It's not yet known whether the plane's airframe parachute system had been deployed. Canada's Transportation Safety Board is on the scene to investigate. The announcement at Air Venture by Marion Blakey that the Washington, D.C. Air Defense Identification Zone would be shrunk was great news for general aviation. But there's been a glitch in the execution. It seems some GPS manufacturers haven't settled on just how to display the new speed ring, or the 120 nautical mile diameter zone in which VFR aircraft are limited to 230 knots. It's not even in effect yet, but some systems are displaying the ring using graphics which make it appear to be a gigantic new temporary flight restriction. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has contacted Garmin, Honeywell, and Avadyne about the problem, and is working to have the redesigned ADIS and speed ring depictions removed until they actually become active on August 30th. Melissa Ruttinger, AOPA Vice President of Regulatory Affairs, says, quote, "The speed ring is not a TFR. It simply limits VFR aircraft to 230 knots, and that must be made clear on cockpit displays. AOPA is also working with the FAA, GPS manufacturers, and data vendors to create a standard depiction for the speed ring that does not resemble those used for TFRs," unquote. Here's a quick quiz. What's more expensive for NASA than a Delta II launch? Answer, being the only remaining agency using the rocket, prices for Delta II launches have been rising, and with the Air Force abandoning the vehicle for more modern alternatives soon, NASA says economics will force it to follow suit. Bill Robel, NASA Assistant Associate Administrator for Launch Services, told Space.com that the Air Force will retire the Delta II as early as next year and switch to use of the newer Atlas V and Delta IV in that payload class. Those newer rockets, developed by the Air Force under the Evolved Expendable Launch Vehicle Program, are expensive themselves, but NASA projects that by 2010, the costs for using the venerable Delta II will be even higher. The last scheduled Delta II use by the Air Force is a GPS satellite launch scheduled for September of 2008. After that, NASA will bear sole responsibility for the costs of United Launch Alliance's Delta II assembly line in Decatur, Alabama, and for launch pad upkeep. At this point, NASA is committed to just 9 remaining Delta II launches, ending with a wide-field infrared survey Explorer spacecraft in November of 2009. And finally, Plain Stupid is at it again. That's plain spelled P-L-A-N-E. Plain Stupid is a group of environmental activists which has staged attention-getting but sometimes ill-conceived stunts to draw attention to its attempt to reduce the size of the airline industry. In November last year, to protest the proliferation of short-haul flights in the UK, members of Plain Stupid climbed to the roof of an office building in North London and unfurled a banner, while 6 other members blocked entrances, claiming on their website to have shut down the corporate offices of EasyJet. But the carrier is based miles away at Luton. Workers in the North London building were left scratching their heads. In their latest stunt on Monday, members of Plain Stupid illegally boarded a barge delivering a wing for an Airbus A380, pitched tents on the boat, and demanded the wing be stored until scientists can develop a way to allow aviation to expand without contributing to global warming. The protesters were removed by security guards. Monday's action launches a week-long series of protests by the group against aviation, intended to culminate in a mass protest on Sunday called the Camp for Climate Change. Plain Stupid targets aviation for contributing more than its fair share of carbon emissions to the environment and has gone so far as to refer to airlines as climate criminals on its website. The Climate Camp website says protesters do not intend to cross the airport's perimeter fence into places where aircraft are located. Then again, would Plain Stupid members have put out word ahead of time they plan to hijack a barge? And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll wrap up Jim Campbell's conversation with Gary Beck of Delta Connection Academy with details on what's special about the Academy's training program. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.